Welcome to the Hope Community Sunday Podcast for the weekend of December 7th, the second Sunday of Advent. I'm Dan Nygaard. This, the second Sunday of Advent, we focus upon joy. Hope is commonly the focus of the first Sunday of Advent. Last week, we looked at hope. So often, hope is understood as wishful thinking, a kind of utopian ideal. However, that is not the hope found in the Bible. Hope in the Bible is not wishful, it is certain. The Bible's certain hope is built upon three divine realities. First, divine revelation. God Himself, the creator of the universe, reaches out to selfish, self-destructive humanity, offering a solution to the human dilemma. Secondly, Christian hope, certain hope, is built upon divine incarnation. God with us, God one of us. And finally, Christian hope, biblical hope, certain hope is based upon divine prophecy. Christ's victory over death applies to all who believe in Him and trust Him. God has offered followers of Jesus Christ life eternal in the kingdom of heaven. That is the hope, the certain hope, revealed and proclaimed in the Bible. The New Testament Gospel of Luke in chapter 10 records how that God incarnate, God walking among us in the person Jesus from Nazareth, gathered to Himself disciples and apostles. Luke chapter 10 records how Jesus appointed 72 of them and sent them out two by two ahead of Him to every town, every location He was about to visit. He gave these 72 disciples the following instructions. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. Go, He said, I am sending you out like lambs among the wolves. When you enter a town and are welcomed, heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. But if you enter a town and are not welcomed, tell that town, be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. Jesus said, it will be more bearable on judgment day for the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah than for the Jewish towns that did not welcome Jesus' disciples. We pick up the story in verse 17 of Luke chapter 10. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Jesus replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overthrow all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. Then Jesus turned to His disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Heavenly Father, in these next few minutes, my prayer, our prayer, is that Jesus alone might be exalted. So Luke chapter 10 records how the 72 returned from their mission with joy. They were joyful. But here's the question. Did their joy result from their mission, proclaiming the kingdom of God has come near, or did their joy result from having authority over demons? Jesus' response to his 72 sent ones is, "Do not rejoice that the demons are subject to you, but rejoice, be joyful in the truth that your names are written in heaven." Luke chapter 10 records Jesus challenging his followers to rejoice, to be joyful that their names are written in heaven. Verse 20, Luke chapter 10, Jesus is speaking. "However," he says, "do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This second Sunday of Advent, our focus is joy. It is my proposition that biblical joy, true joy, authentic joy, rests upon four things. First, the joy of thanksgiving. Joyful people are thankful people. I love the American Thanksgiving holiday because it challenges us, it provokes us to be thankful. And thankful people are joyful people. Biblical joy, real joy, is also about the incarnation, God with us, Emmanuel, the mystery of Yahweh with us, the deep mystery of Yahweh being one of us, taking on, embracing human form. This is a mystery, this is a truth that the human mind can hardly comprehend, yet accepting Emmanuel, that God has come near in the person Jesus. Accepting that, believing that, is foundational to being a joyful person. Third, true joy, biblical joy, is found in God's promises. Last week during spiritual uploading, someone led us in quoting as best we could John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That divine promise is foundational to joy. The promise that God will make us citizens in his kingdom is also a foundation to joy. That trusting in God's promise. Trusting in God's promise that all who believe in Jesus Christ will be empowered to become children of God. These biblical promises are not nebulous wishful thinking. Believers and followers of Jesus Christ anticipate going home. Going Home is the title of an American Irish hymn. The lyrics include, "Going home, I'm a going home. Quiet like some still day, I'm just going home. It's not far, just close by, through an open door. Work all done, cares laid by, going to roam no more. Mother's there expecting me, father's waiting too. Lots of folks gathered there, all the friends I knew." Biblical joy, true joy, authentic joy, is about the joy of thanksgiving. Thankful people are joyful people. It's joy over the incarnation, Emmanuel, God with us. It's joy for God's promises. Also, it is joy through God the Holy Spirit. It's interesting. Luke chapter 10, verse 21 reads as follows. "At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit." What a unique phrase. There is so much to unpack there. There is so much room for speculation and theological wonderment at exactly what did it mean that Jesus was full of joy through the Holy Spirit. Well, one thing for certain it meant. Jesus' joy was not dependent upon this material world. The joy of Jesus, indeed the joy of Jesus' followers, is a higher joy. It is a holy joy. It is a joy that comes from God, that rests upon God's promises, that believes in God's incarnation, and expresses thanksgiving for all that God has done and is doing. Allow me to suggest to you that biblical joy, Christ-like joy, comes to us via God the Holy Spirit. The topic of joy that we are looking at this second Sunday of Advent presents us with a problem. Joy is lacking in our world. Joy is so lacking that it seems to me that contemporary culture has given up on joy. I have found it interesting that the current go-to Christmas carol is In the Bleak Midwinter. The first verse of this Christmas carol is used in all sorts of cultural venues. The BBC television show Ghosts have the ghosts gathered together around a grand piano singing the first verse, repeatedly singing the first verse of In the Bleak Midwinter. In the bleak midwinter, frosty wind made moan, earth stood hard as iron, water like a stone. Snow had fallen, snow on snow, snow on snow on snow. In the bleak midwinter, long ago. Now, I have heard this Christmas carol, this first verse of this Christmas carol, in all sorts of venues, and the bleakness of this Christmas carol has always irritated me. The popularity of this Christmas carol has troubled me. The message of In the Bleak Midwinter is that life is bleak, life is cold, life is hard. It has taken me aback that this Christmas carol has become so popular in the last half dozen years or so. Then I discovered that there are more verses to this Christmas carol than the first verse that I have heard so often in our current culture. A British jazz musician and podcaster named Jamie Cullum produced an Amazon original music video. He sings In the Bleak Midwinter, but includes the original verses. In the bleak midwinter, verse 2, our God, heaven cannot hold him, nor earth sustain. Heaven and earth shall flee away when he comes to reign. In the bleak midwinter, a stable place sufficed. The Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ. Then the fourth verse, what can I give him? Poor as I am, if I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give him? Give him my heart. While our contemporary culture seems to have given up on joy, the New Testament Gospel of Luke records that joy results from accepting and entering and engaging and investing in the kingdom mission on earth. Luke chapter 10 records the 72 who were sent out by Jesus returned with joy. Luke chapter 10 records that Jesus, full of the joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Luke chapter 10 verses 23 and 24 records, then Jesus turned to his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Unlike Jesus' disciples, we are not witnesses of Jesus walking this earth. But thanks to the New Testament authors, we can hear what they heard, and we can be full of joy. Okay, we can admit that joy is lacking in our world, but the question for us is, why are Christians so lacking in joy? More than one pastor, more than one preacher, more than one Bible scholar has opined. A great weakness of the evangelical church is this. The world looks at us and sees little different than a reflection of the culture in which they live. I propose to you that believers lack joy because we focus upon ourselves. I propose to you that believers, followers of Jesus Christ, today are lacking in joy because we dance to the tune of materialism. Years ago, I adopted a term to identify modern Christianity, and I call modern American Christians consumer Christians. The driving passion of the consumer Christian is not how do I further the kingdom of heaven on earth, but their driving passion is what benefit is there for me? The reason joy is lacking in modern North America Christianity is because we have failed to accept Christ's commission. And what is Christ's commission? Well, here's how Luke chapter 10 puts it. Jesus instructed the 72. Before he sent them out, he gave them these instructions. When you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. It's my opinion when most of us enter a home, we ask ourselves, am I going to be comfortable here? This is in conflict with Jesus' instruction. When you enter a home, the first thing you say is peace upon this house. We are called to be ministers, to be agents, to be ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, not Christian consumers. Jesus continues his instructions to the 72 before they were sent out. Jesus said, heal the sick who are there and tell them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Now, this is a conundrum. I have time and time again prayed for the sick and they were not healed. Perhaps my faith is lacking. Perhaps this instruction of Jesus was specific to those 72. Imagine the joy that would result if we healed the sick. Here is my conclusion. I shall attempt to faithfully do my part. I will pray for the sick to be healed. Then I will trust their healing to my Heavenly Father. I think I could be so much more impactful if God used me to heal the sick. Imagine the joy that you or I might bring. Yet that is not how God has been functioning in my life. That is not how I have seen God functioning in our world today. Yes, divine healing is available. Yes, divine, miraculous healing occurs. Sadly, it is not the norm. I will leave that to God. I carefully, humbly seek to fulfill Jesus' command while trusting the fulfillment to God's good will. Jesus commanded, heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of heaven has come near to you. Regardless of whether the sick are healed or not, I can assure people, I can proclaim to people, we can tell people, the kingdom of heaven has come near. And in doing that, we will find out of this world joy. Our hope, our call is to be Christ-like, and Jesus was full of joy. Luke chapter 10, verse 21, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Joy, biblical joy, authentic joy, true joy, joy that is out of this world is available via God's revelation. Joy is available to those who repent and believe and live in obedience to Jesus' teaching. Joy is available to all who humbly become servants of the kingdom of heaven. Following in Jesus' own footsteps, Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, he, that is Jesus, made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. If you want to have Jesus' joy, adopt Jesus' servanthood. And we must acknowledge, joy is sorely lacking in our culture. Why? Because of pride. Our culture has embraced my truth over revealed truth. The result? The world in which we live seems bleak, cold, and hard. Life is bleak, cold, and hard for those who dismiss the wonderful but challenging mystery of the incarnation. I will promise you this: joy will fill your life if your priority is doing kingdom business, if your goal is to tell people the kingdom of heaven has come near. Doing it in word and in deed, with prayers and kindness. Recall how the Apostle John wrote in his letter, "Make my joy complete by loving one another." The joy of the Lord is available to those who are on mission for God, proclaiming the kingdom of heaven has come near. The joy of the Lord is available to those who love the brothers, who love the sisters, and yes, who love their enemies and pray for their enemies. The joy of the Lord is available to all who adopt Jesus' attitude and ministry of servanthood. My friends, when you come to understand that it is not about you, it is about the kingdom of heaven, and when we live in that understanding, we will have the joy of the Lord. We will have joy this world cannot give and this world cannot take away. As is sung in the final verse of In the Bleak Midwinter, let us give our hearts to Jesus Christ. Let our top priority become the kingdom of heaven. Let us invite the Holy Spirit into our lives, asking him to fill us with the joy of Jesus Christ, making us shining lights in this bleak midwinter culture.